Welcome to the podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I'm in Arizona. Padres Diamondbacks, final three games of the regular season. They are huge. Let's just put it this way. Padres can eliminate Arizona from getting the top wild card spot and the home series that comes with it with one victory. The Padres can eliminate the Mets with a victory and a Mets loss, or two victories, regardless of what the Mets do. Ryan, where would you like to start?
Greetings from Yuma, Kevin. It's 111 where I am. I am on my way to you, so we will be in the same building tomorrow.
You are attending the game when?
Tomorrow.
Okay. So, are you bringing the kids, Ryan?
Yes, absolutely. Bringing the kids. I'm not sure if you tell my wife.
Yeah. Are they rooting for a loss tonight?
That's a great question. And that's sort of where I want to start here. We've been talking, three times a week since February about this team. The road ahead has become really rather simple here. Yeah, a combination of two Padres wins and Mets losses gets the Padres where we thought they always were going to go, right? Which would be the number one wildcard spot with hosting a best of three series starting Tuesday at Petco Park. They're coming off a series loss to the Dodgers after clinching at least a spot somewhere in these playoffs. This is pretty straight ahead stuff here. Winning, you're in, right? I mean,
right. And don't win and you're still in, but you don't get to be at home. It would be certainly, because then it would be the Diamondbacks. And then I didn't pack adequately for a long enough stay, because honestly, Padres, I bet on you that you could get one freaking win this weekend so that I could go home.
There's a lot going on here. I mean, we talk about the Diamondbacks, Diamondbacks kind of know what they have to do, but then there's this looming doubleheader Monday in Atlanta, Mets versus Braves. Weather wiped out the last two games of their series this week. That could have some serious playoff implications, not only for the Padres, but for the Diamondbacks too, right?
Yeah. I mean, there is a scenario, right? And again, it's a lot easier to read about than to listen to and get through all the permutations. But like, there's a scenario that like the Diamondbacks and or the Padres are sitting at home, Padres in San Diego, the Diamondbacks here, wondering either who's coming to them or where they're going. Now, that would take for the Diamondbacks for them to basically to sweep the Padres. But yeah, the Padres could be in San Diego wondering who's coming to see them. Or, heck, it could be the Diamondbacks, depending on what the Mets are in Milwaukee in the interim here starting tonight. So they'll get all their games in. Heck, the Braves might have to play two doubleheaders in a span of 3 days if their game, and I haven't seen, I could probably look because it's what now 4:30 there in Atlanta, but it's still raining there. And they're hosting the Royals, who are also trying to get in the American League playoffs. They could be rained out, have to play a doubleheader tomorrow. It could get pretty hairy for those one or both of those two teams.
Yeah, exactly. And again, if the Padres are hosting, and say if the Mets can earn a spot in San Diego with a win on Monday, all of a sudden you're facing a team that has had to play a doubleheader the day before. They could really be running on empty, couldn't they?
Right. And like the best case for them would be that somehow like the Braves are out of it, right? And the seeding is all set and they don't have to play that, because that would be huge. Even though, like, let's say they're not going to play the second game if it doesn't have playoff implications. And even if you could say, squeak through with a bullpen game or something, because I don't know, you felt confident the Braves were out of pitching or whatever. The fact that you had to play a game at all and then travel across the country. Now, look, it's also the kind of thing that maybe a team rallies around. But yeah, that's going to be a tough road if one of those teams has to go across the country, which they most likely will.
Most likely will. So, I mean, further complicating things for the Padres. Well, let's talk real quick about the start of this Padres series. There's not a lot that we know right now. The Padres have only announced one starting pitcher, and that is Yu Darvish. So he will pitch tonight against the Diamondbacks. Why the reticence here? Is it just a matter of they don't want to commit to starting, say, Michael King or Dylan Cease if they can save them for the playoffs?
Right.
Is this a day-to-day thing? Why are we holding off on naming starters Saturday and Sunday?
Right. I'm almost certain that Dylan Cease is going to be your game one starter, that Michael King will start Sunday and probably will start Sunday. It just depends on like how long will he go. I mean, You know, no one has told me this, that Michael King would be the number, the game one starter in the postseason if, say, the Padres were to wrap it up, right? Because obviously, if they need to win on Sunday, Michael King's going to go as if he would. And they, you know, they'll be trying to win. Martin Perez is lined up to pitch tomorrow. He did his bullpen day before yesterday in Los Angeles. Martin Perez will start on Saturday, almost certainly. The Diamondbacks have done the same thing. Merrill Kelly tonight. And then I would imagine it's going to be Jordan Montgomery tomorrow. And the funny thing is, like, the Diamondbacks still need to win. So I'm not sure why they haven't just announced their, you know, their starters, but basically they're both waiting to see what happens tonight before deciding how to progress for the rest of the weekend.
Merrill Kelly, a guy who seems to have great success against the Padres in his career. Somebody who I think has been a sneaky great pitcher for the Diamondbacks since signing with them out of Korea. Somebody who I think would make me nervous if I was a Padre fan. Simply because of the success he's had against
them. Obviously, he's one of these guys that you see a lot. And so you end up talking to players a lot about him. And they just so often come away just like marveling at how good he is, and especially how good he is against them. That has not faced them this year, had a shoulder issue, some cramping things in his calf, I think. Like, hasn't really made a whole bunch of starts. And last year, two starts, I believe, the Padres actually did pretty well. You could say they grinded some wins in games that he started. But before that, that guy hasn't exactly been what Walker Buehler used to be, or Clayton Kershaw used to be, or Madison Bumgarner used to be against the Padres. But yes, it will be a tough matchup.
Absolutely. And again, you know, if the Padres were to somehow clinch, say tonight, right? Say the Padres win in the Mets, right? So the Padres can basically, you know, their fate is known. Do you see them kind of going bullpen days the next couple games, throwing guys who might not otherwise pitch? Or do you think that they're going to stay in the rotation just to, you know, get guys some work, but not let them go very long?
I think they stay in the rotation because you got to get some work. But again, Michael King may not, because he's going to go in the wild card series. Right now, like, I've talked to people inside the organization, not the guys who actually make the decisions, because they wouldn't tell me the truth anyway. But you know, other people that are involved in these discussions, and the Padres have four guys to choose from, right? Dylan Cease, Joe Musgrove, Michael King, Yu Darvish. I think Martin Perez starts Saturday, and, you know, then is like available in the bullpen maybe, like he did for the Rangers during their playoff run last year. But then what do you do with Michael King on Sunday? If he's going to pitch in the wild card series, he doesn't pitch at all. If you're going to try to make him like game one starter in the DS, if you make it to the division series, then maybe Michael King goes like three innings or something like that. So yeah, that will be interesting. They'll be able to rest some position players, be able to use some bullpen guys that haven't pitched and probably won't be on their playoff roster. It will be very interesting to see how they kind of line up the 26-man roster for the postseason.
Sure. Do you anticipate seeing Ha-Sung Kim this weekend?
Yes, I anticipate seeing him with my eyes in the clubhouse. Things got so crazy. I have not checked up on how the past few days went. He's been here in Peoria. But yes, he'll be there. And there was talk yesterday among players that they were like, yeah, it looks like he might come back and join us. So they're obviously talking with Ha-Sung. And so I think it's really a good possibility that he does join them. Then that's a whole interesting thing. It moves Xander Bogaerts around so much. Has he been great at shortstop? No, he has not. Let me tell you this. Xander Bogaerts is not making that triple play, most likely. That triple play was Manny. But that triple play also involved a really good turn on the relay by Jake Cronenworth. Like, Jake Cronenworth's their best second baseman, man. Like, this is really interesting.
Well, yeah, and what do you do? I mean, okay, so if Ha-Sung Kim comes back, you know, Ha-Sung Kim's probably best at second base, isn't he?
He is, but he hasn't worked there at all.
Like, he hasn't worked there at all. He's
at all. Unless he did this week. And so, again, my bad, but I got kind of caught up in what was, you know, kind of a big series and all that. But I should have checked in on it. I don't know what he has been doing, but not one single rep at second base before at least Tuesday.
Right. If he were to come back, is the idea just that Nick Ahmed wouldn't be part of their active roster?
Right.
Is that the simple flaw?
I think Brandon Lockridge has earned his spot as a defensive replacement. And moreover, as a pinch runner, I don't think you do not get rid of Tyler Wade at this point. I'm not going to put him in the same glue guy category as Jurickson Profar, but he's been with the team the whole year. He brings value as well. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, it is pretty simple. Let's talk about that just a little bit here before we go. You had a great point the other day. You know, the Padres have what is essentially a five-man bullpen, right? They've been using essentially the same five guys, Jason Adam, Tanner Scott, Robert Suarez, Adrian Morahone, and Jeremiah Estrada. You've seen they've really operating with a tight or with a short bench. You know, they're not pinch hitting a lot. It seems like they're content to ride with the guys who are out there every day at this point, and that, you know, when it comes down to a must-win game, Mike Schilt doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's going to be tinkering a whole heck of a lot, with whether it's with the lineup or with his bullpen usage the last three games of the season and into the playoffs.
Not tinkering with the lineup a whole bunch, certainly not with the bullpen. The lineup has been, for the most part, I mean, when we're talking about like in-game machinations, I don't get to use that word very often. You know, Donovan Solano's starting now. That takes out something, you know, and so there's been that. The bullpen, I mean, absolutely. Gosh, they have been in playoff mode here. And to a certain extent, like their offense has forced them to. It hasn't been great in September. And they have just been playing close game after close game where, you know, I save for a couple times, even if they're down one, Mike Schilt is putting in, you know, Tanner Scott or Jason Adam or Jeremiah Estrada trying to chase that victory. And most times it's actually worked out, fortunately for them. That's good managing. And that's also a little bit of good fortune that you're not wasting these guys. You're using them and then you get a victory. But yes, you are correct. Like, they've been in playoff mode. That's where they'll be. I actually think that, you know, I think there's some history that suggests what happens during the season doesn't have a lot of bearing statistically on what happens in the postseason. But these Padres, and especially the way Mike Schilt manages and the way that they've played and they've been forced to play, like, they've been in playoff mode. And Mike Schilt, it's not exactly true, but he says he manages every game like it's game seven of the World Series. No, you don't, Mike. But you know what? Pretty much as close as I've ever seen any manager. So I think that, you know, that could help them going forward.
And I think that it's another one of the reasons why it's so important for them to try to lock something up as soon as they can this weekend. Get those bullpen guys off their feet, maybe Saturday, Sunday, right? All of a sudden, there's a little bit of baked-in rest there. You know you're going to have an advantage over whoever you play in the wild card round. Because if it's the Mets will be coming to you having played a doubleheader probably on Monday. And if you're facing the Diamondbacks, who have, you know, been going hard through the weekend to try to get to that number two wildcard spot.
That all like really sounds right. And then you think, gosh, look at what the Rangers and the Diamondbacks did last year. Like, I mean, it's so funny. Like, I was just in LA where the Dodgers narrative has become, you know, it wasn't that we had those 5-day layoffs why we would lose in the division series. It's because we clinched too early. I actually think that has merit. I've been saying that for a while, like that, but like, that's what they believe now. Okay, great. The Padres believe that, you know, playing all these good games, all these close games and having to win has been good for them, but they're going to adopt what you just said. If they get these next 2 days where they can rest, oh, it's great to have some rest going in. So yeah, whatever they believe.
Sure. Sure. Reports of the Dodgers' death have been greatly exaggerated. Kevin,
not with that offense, man, and not with Shohei Ohtani. They won Tuesday's game because Manny Machado kept Shohei Ohtani out of the batter's box. All right,
right,
and even
right.
Then, of course, they walk Shohei Ohtani if the triple play doesn't happen. Then Mookie Betts comes up, and look what Mookie Betts did last night. That offense is incredible. You have to put them away. You have to play perfectly, and the bad thing for the Dodgers is their rotation just is not very good at all. But the rest of their team is very good. They bring arms out of the bullpen that are very good. And to your point about the rest too, maybe Robert Suarez can work in the bullpen, like not out of the bullpen, like in games, but in the bullpen on his changeup, on his sinker, so that he can stop throwing everybody fastballs. Because that to me is like it's a big thing right now. I know relievers go through ebbs and flows and seasons, but he and Tanner Scott are not exactly the lockdown guys at the back end where everybody's like, oh man, look at that bullpen. That's a team that's built to go a long ways. Like, that's a little shaky right now.
It is. And that's why I think a little rest might be good. Kevin, before we go, one of the things that I think is really special about baseball is there are these chances to celebrate when you do good things. And I want you to tell me what a champagne-soaked clubhouse is like for people who won't get an opportunity to be in one in their lifetime.
It is really a wonderful place. It is. I say it all the time here. I've got no skin in the game, but there is nothing wrong with being around happy. And I don't know, and I think you might be sitting next to your wife, so I'm assuming you're going to agree with me, but remember your wedding day and you couldn't get that smile off your face and it was just the happiest thing, or when you saw your kids come into the world, it's like right behind those is what guys tell me. It is that kind of feeling that they have, also kind of fueled by a bunch of champagne and beer. And it was like as if you were at your wedding throwing champagne and beer on everybody there. It's really neat to be around. And I don't know, maybe I'm weird, but I like happy people. And you rarely see more happy people in the same place than during a celebration. And I want to say this because I keep getting emails about how they shouldn't have celebrated because they still had a division to win. And I get it. If you haven't really understood how much failure there is in this game, how difficult this game is, how many guys play a long time without ever getting one of these celebrations, how hard they work and spend all this time together, failing, losing all season, and then you accomplish your goal. They absolutely deserve to do what they did. And it had nothing to do with what happened the next two nights.
The best thing I heard was from Joe Musgrove, which is you celebrate every chance you get. He goes, there are some guys in this clubhouse who may never get to celebrate anything ever again, right? You never know, right? Tony Gwynn sprayed champagne in 1984 thinking he'd be back in the World Series the next year and took him till 1998. I think that's a lesson we can take into our lives, which is celebrate the victories because, you never know.
And focus on that. Absolutely. But think about that 20 years and the man got four celebrations, right? Or 4 years in which he celebrated. Right. And that's pretty incredible. And there are guys that play 10, 12 years who get none or get one and plenty of guys like Jackson Merrill. What a magical year for that guy. And let me tell you, he was having fun on Tuesday.
Absolutely.
He's thinking, even though a bunch of veterans are telling him, enjoy this because you might never get it again or you don't know. He's thinking, oh, this is going to happen every year. Yeah. And it won't.
Exactly. Padres Diamondbacks, 3-game series at Chase Field starting Friday night, 6:40 p.m. tonight, 5:10, then I believe 1:10 on Sunday, correct?
Yeah, sure. You know what, Ryan? I show up there 4 hours before and I'm ready for the game. So I count on you to give the time. So I hope you were right.
Kevin, at least you get to spend time this weekend at your favorite stadium in all of baseball, Chase Field.
Yeah. I wonder if that'll be great. No, it'll be great. You know what? There will be a lot of Padres fans there. And I will say this, more Diamondbacks fans in the Valley of the Sun this season than I have seen in many years.
Going to a World Series will do that, I think. All they had to do, Kevin, was make the World Series to get fans to show up. No, huge series. Kevin, I don't know when I'm going to talk to you next. My guess is it will be sometime Monday about a wild card series opponent to be announced, correct?
Yeah, we should do that. And it'll probably depend on what time the workout day is, the logistics. We're going to go ahead and assume it's Petco Park. And then also we'll be getting times because, they like to wait and see, who's involved. Is New York, a New York team involved? Is it Padres and Diamondbacks, what's the primetime appeal of that? So, yeah, a lot to be determined here.
Absolutely. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey in Phoenix, I'm Ryan Finley in Yuma. We'll see you next time.